The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, November 11th. We have a Thursday night football game to preview. What we thought was going to be a battle, I'm sure what the NFL thought when they scheduled it, was going to be a battle of two playoff contenders in the AFC, is now devolved into a desperate, sad Miami Dolphins team hosting a white-hot Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. To break it all down, joining me from a gambling perspective and a betting perspective, prop perspective, and, of course, a DFS perspective, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Will? And honestly, not even that, not even the disappointment of the Dolphins not being that playoff contender. We don't even know who's going to be the quarterback right now. I mean, you know, it looks like it's not going to be Tua Tagovailoa. It could be Jacoby Brissett, so we're not even getting the young quarterback because, obviously, Tua Tagovailoa dealing with that fracture in his left throwing hand. So, you know, that's another one where it's like, ah, man, this could have been what could have been here, Will?
What could have been? And I feel like you and I have drawn the short stick, or not the short stick. I mean, anybody talking about these primetime games has, but like every single week, it feels like there's been somebody key in the game who has been extremely questionable, or, you know, it's like you can't bet on, although I guess they have passing receiving props up.
They do.
At Caesars for the Dolphins, because it's not like, I mean, the Tua Jacoby drop off, you know, is, I mean, it's there, but it's not like incredibly significant. Not that Jacoby Brissett has played particularly well.
Well, I was talking about that with one of our editors on Sunday when the news was coming in where Tua wasn't going to be starting in the game and all of that. It was going to be Jacoby Brissett. I think the line maybe moved a point or two. I mean, you know,
towards the Dolphins.
Yeah, it did not make a difference at all. And then, you know, you go the previous week and Davante Adams is shaking up the whole line. So, you know, the market doesn't particularly like or think a lot of Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua Tagovailoa, that's right. We will, of course, talk about this game from a betting perspective, a props perspective. And then on YouTube, we will talk about it from a DFS perspective. That is a YouTube exclusive. You can, of course, watch us on YouTube every single Monday, Thursday, and Sunday when there's a primetime game. Subscribe at youtube.com/pick6. Turn on alerts. Like the video if you're watching right now. Comment with your best bet for Thursday night football and join us for live recaps every single primetime game. Plus, so like tonight, we'll fire up right after the game ends and we'll, you know, chit chat for like 20 minutes. We're going to give away a bunch of Brinson Sucks hats on there. So if you want to win one of those, come hang with us and you can leave your name in the chat and then you'll be eligible to win. We also have a live pick show today at 1 o'clock. And then on Tuesdays at 1 o'clock, Ryan Wilson hosts a YouTube exclusive mock draft show. That's right. You can get all the Ryan Wilson you want and none of the Brinson if you really do believe that I suck, which is fine. Ravens, -7.5 on the road. The over-under here, 46.5. Notable injuries. Marquise Brown back at full practice on Tuesday, so he should be good to go. I guess I could see if the Ravens have updated their don't like to update the injury report, do they, Sully? Marquise Brown, good to go with full practice on Tuesday, barring a setback. Latavius Murray was a DNP on Tuesday. Tavon Young and Brandon Williams, both DNPs on Tuesday. And Tua was limited on Tuesday. Of course, we'll know presumably by Wednesday. We record these on Wednesday at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and somehow they don't have practice reports up. Did you see anything out there about Tua other than
No, the only thing I saw on the Dolphins front was that wide receiver Preston Williams, Brian Flores, did say that he would play this week, which when he was a healthy scratch last week. So kind of people were surprised, especially when Devontae Parker was put on injured reserve. You thought there'd be more opportunities there for Williams, but no, he didn't end up playing. But it seems like he's going to play this week. So just a, you know, probably a small thing for DFS more than anything, but no, nothing on Tua.
Okay. Well, but yeah, worth monitoring to see if Tua is a go or not. As far as this game goes, I mean, look, it's kind of tough to take the Dolphins, right?
Yeah, it's really tough. But something does need to give here. You know, it is interesting when you start to look at the trends a little bit. Obviously, the Ravens, pretty big road favorites going into this one. In this season, they haven't won any of those games. They're 0-2 against the spread as a road favorite, and the Dolphins are 0-2 against the spread as a home underdog. So, I mean, something does have to kind of give here with these two teams. I would think it's going to be the Ravens. I just think that, again, it's tough to really keep up with this offense when you're going with a backup quarterback. And I like Jacoby Brissett. I think he's a perfectly fine backup quarterback.
NC State guy, guy, right? And
former Patriot, former NC State guy. I mean, this is the fan club right here.
That's right. Yeah, this is the Jacoby Brissett Venn diagram or the Venn diagram of Jacoby Brissett football fans.
I just have a hard time imagining them keeping up with an offense that has 6.1 yards per play, which is one of the best in the NFL this season. And the Dolphins are pretty much at the opposite end of that spectrum, 4.7 yards per play, which is last in the NFL this season. So it's hard to imagine, no matter who's under center for them, that they'll be able to keep up.
Yeah, it really is. Worth noting in this game, by the way, that I need to look and see how far away Pompano Beach to Dolphin Stadium.
It's like 35 miles, right? From
not very far. We know who's from Pompano Beach, don't we? Yep. Lamar Jackson. Yeah, it is not far at all. Just north of Fort Lauderdale, 39 minutes. So there's going to be a significant amount of, one would assume, Lamar Jackson's family members and people who grew up rooting for Lamar Jackson, who have become Ravens fans. Because, I mean, I think I would assume that, like, the whole city is a pretty, like, Ravens fans, even though it's in Miami.
Absolutely.
You know, like in Louisville, Kentucky, they have a flagship Ravens station in Louisville, Kentucky because of Lamar. Like that's, like, the Louisville fans are huge Ravens fans as a result. And, you know, so we also have Hollywood Brown. You know how he got the name Hollywood? He's not from California. He's from Hollywood, Florida, to Dolphin Stadium. Let's look. No, not Dolphin Swim, Dolphin Stadium. It's even closer. It's 23 minutes away, 9 miles. You think Hollywood Brown's going to have some friends and family rolling in from Hollywood there? And, like, these dudes are going to want to show off for their homecoming. And
I'll tell you this, Will. They already have, or at least Lamar Jackson already has. We've seen him ball out.
2019.
2019. 85 completion percentage, 324 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, and a perfect passer rating. So, again, he likes to play at home.
That was the first game of the season, I believe.
It was.
He came out and made a statement of his MVP, of the MVP campaign. I think that was probably an underrated thing when we were looking at that game back in 2019. And now you think about it, you're like, oh, he wanted to show off for friends and family.
Yeah, not only that, but he was beginning the year as the bona fide starting quarterback. They had taken pretty much the entire offseason to reconstruct the offense around Lamar Jackson. That was his MVP season in 2019, yep. Correct? Like, that was pretty much the start of Lamar Jackson takeover, becoming the guy there.
Absolutely.
So, again, it's just, you know, you always have that little extra oomph. You know, you find out about them, you know, you find out about these games. Oh, he's from down the street. He's got, you know, a million friends and family there, and he wants to show out. There's that little extra juice. Obviously, these players bring it, you know, pretty much 100% every single week. But there's a little added one when you're going home.
I wonder if Pete Prisco would poo-poo the idea that that these guys get pumped up for the. Cause he probably would, because he always poo-poos anything that I say. Like, that they're extra motivated. He's like, so what does that say about the rest of the time they're motivated? I'm like, Pete, it's not. I mean, like, I don't know what to tell you, buddy. Like, I think they get more pumped up to go home and play. I mean, I would do the same thing. Like, if I was doing a live podcast in High Point, North Carolina, I'd bring the goods, you know? Yeah. Like, I'd be, I mean, I know it's not the same thing, obviously, but I agree. I think Lamar goes in there. I think he and Hollywood Brown are amped up for this game. The Dolphins are not a very good defense. They will happily give up points. The Ravens are not exactly – And elite defense this year, I don't believe.
I believe they're giving up the second most yards per play in the NFL.
Yeah, they're 26th in DVOA as well. They're better against the run than they are against the pass. But Miami's not exactly an electric passing offense. I lean towards the under here, 46.5, but I don't feel particularly great about it. I think the way that I would look here is, I mean, it's kind of like if the Dolphins can jump out to a lead somehow, like, I mean, we've seen this the last few weeks in primetime games, like these home weird teams have jumped out to leads in primetime games, right? The Dolphins can easily have a trick play, get the ball first, score, get a stop, a pick six, whatever it is, anything, right? Find a way to get to 14-0 somehow. And if that happens, I would think that the over is more in play because the Ravens are less likely to morph into their ground game. If the Ravens get a lead, I think the under is more likely in play because I just don't have as much faith in Miami's explosive pass offense, particularly with either a banged up Tua or Jacoby Brissett. It's under 50, so it's not a huge number, which is a little scary. And the Ravens are actually passing a lot more this year than they have in years past. This is a team that leaned into the ground game, like they wanted to have, their stable of backs and Lamar Jackson and grind you into dust. And this year they have really been passing a lot more. I also think there's a good case to be made that if Lamar goes down there and lights us up, by the way, that he'll leapfrog into the lead for the MVP in the NFL.
Yeah, that's not out of the realm of possibility at all. I mean, right now, it's between Jackson. It's between probably who? Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, Josh Allen are the favorites. Kyler Murray right there. Lamar, yeah. Justin Herbert. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty wide open. It's stealable if you're Lamar.
Absolutely. Like from here on out, there's really no clear-cut guy at the moment. There's just a bunch of people in that collection. So, yeah, certainly Jackson could run out to it. In terms of this game, if it follows anything that we saw last week, underdogs were 10-4 last week at Caesars. So, you could absolutely see, the Dolphins, if it carries over, the Dolphins just have a crazy game. In terms of the total, I lean a little bit over just because you see the explosive ability in Baltimore's offense. And like you said, they have to pass a little bit more. And I think that that's more out of it, just not having the right personnel. You got to remember, J.K. Dobbins was supposed to be the running back for this team. And now they've kind of had to scramble. They got lucky for a few weeks with Tyson Williams, but they really just have been able to kind of piece it along with Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman. It's not who they want to have, so it's not surprising to hear that they're passing a little bit more. And ultimately, I just think that they're just an offense that has a little bit of a higher ceiling that could almost get you 3/4 of the way there anyways.
Lamar is averaging over 8 pass attempts per game more than he averaged last year, which is kind of stunning, right? That's a significant number. He's got 7 interceptions already. Some, a couple of them have been pretty bad, but 13 passing touchdowns, finished with 26 passing touchdowns last year in 15 games. And I'm trying to look, let's see, what did he, in 2019, when he won the MVP, he had 15 games. He was averaging 26.7 pass attempts per game. He's up to 33+. On average this year. They're just throwing the ball a lot more. He is completing he's at 65% completing a high rate. He's averaging 8.3 yards per attempt. He's throwing the ball down the field. He's looking sharp. He's really, Hollywood Brown has kind of taken a step forward as a true, not a true number one wide receiver, but a legitimate wide receiver. Whereas we thought he was just sort of a burner with questionable hands last year. And Mark Andrews has morphed into just a monster at the tight end position, even if he doesn't end up having huge games all the time. They run the ball a ton with Devontae Freeman, and which is something.
don't sleep on Rashad Bateman, who's starting to come on a little bit this year too.
For sure. I'm staying away from that total, but I think I like the Ravens kind of a lot here. 7.5.
I love the Ravens. I'm with you. I lean over, but I would probably stay away.
The Ravens are also a pretty good teaser piece. If you don't mind leaving it open for a couple of days, get them down to 1.5. Just, tease us. They just need to win, right? Or use them in a money line parlay, whatever one is better. I could maybe be talked into the over, but right now, I'm on the under.
I'll tell you this season really quickly. The Ravens are 5-3 with the over.
Oh, okay. And yeah, I mean, if they're passing a bunch and their defense isn't playing very well, Miami could pretty easily put up points on Baltimore. So don't let me deter you from betting, not you, but like the general listening public. Don't let me deter you from taking the over if you like it. Just something about Baltimore and Miami just feels very undery. But I mean, the Ravens could hang 50 on Miami if they're feeling like it. If Lamar's and Hollywood are feeling the homecoming, I mean, they could put up monster numbers against this team.
I believe 50 is what they hung in that week one game. Again, we don't have to keep pointing that it's not exactly going to translate, but just, you know, we're saying
this translates pretty well.
You know, I mean, they're going 59. Home.
59-10 was the final score. 643 yards, 378 passing yards, 265 rushing yards. And coming into that game, oh, by the way, two first quarter touchdown passes from Lamar to Hollywood.
Interesting.
Muy interesante. Yeah, I'm not taking that. I'm not getting near that under. even Robert Griffin, Lamar was 17-20 for 324 yards, 5 touchdowns with a perfect passer rating. Robert Griffin came in and mop duty with 6-6 for 55 and a touch. Like, John Harbaugh's not scared to let his dude go out there and show out for his family.
No, absolutely not. I mean, this is kind of, you know, they're definitely one of those teams that is more than happy to not necessarily run up the score, but run up the score. They're
not,
ready they're to go.
Not afraid to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will do props.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Okay, so props in this game. You could probably guess from the way that we described, the way that we talked about the game, what sort of direction we might go with said props. I actually wrote down Lamar Jackson over rushing yards as one. 63.5. You've got Lamar Jackson over passing yards, 232.5. And I love that as well. I might actually, oh no, I wrote down rush yards or pass yards? I wrote down pass yards. Never mind. I'm an idiot.
Okay. Cool. I was going to say the rush yards, it concerns me a little bit just because short week, they've had to run them a lot. They're coming off that overtime win against the Minnesota Vikings. I wonder how much they're going to expose them to the running game if they can avoid it, especially against the team where they can throw a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I was looking at, well, I guess what I was looking at was, let's see, where's, I lost my place in 2020, there we go, 2021. Lamar game logs, I was looking at. The last 2 weeks, he started to pick up the running a lot more. Really over, well, I mean, I guess he had that lull against Detroit and Denver where he only ran 7 times each game. The last 4 weeks, he's averaging, he's averaging 13.8 rush attempts per game and 80.3 rush yards per game. Of course, that's buoyed by 121 carries last week and 120 rush yards in a furious comeback against Minnesota. And maybe you're onto something there, Sully. Maybe it's simply, you know, they were in comeback mode. He's having to take off and run a bunch. It was a furious fast game. So, yeah, if this is a blowout, he's probably not going to run a ton.
And the other thing too is, and you noted this before the break too, they're just passing a lot more. I mean, he's gone over this passing yard total every single time this season except for once. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, it's not like
that's,
this is
a low number.
It's just a, yeah, exactly, it's just a low number, you know. Yeah,
I'm betting that right now.
I think his rushing attempts was sitting around like 9.5.
It was 9.5, yeah.
So like, you know, I don't really want to mess around with, you know, predicting a double digit, you know, carries for him on a short week and a game where, again, it could get out of hand. They could get to a lead here. And if they do, you saw it in that game back in week one in 2019. He really didn't run a lot.
Yeah. No, he ran 3 times for 6 yards. You're right. All right. Okay, that's actually what happened. I wrote down rush yards at first in the rundown. I was looking at it, but then when I actually sent him in, I sent in pass yards and the pass touchdowns over. That pass touchdowns over, I'm seeing it at, all the way up now at minus 156 to get to two passing touchdowns. I mean, that's a lot. It's minus 130 over at Caesars. That is a minus 130. That is a slammer.
Yeah, hit
like,
that.
That's a free, I mean, not a free bet. I mean, because we could see Devontae Freeman punch him in, but you know, we look at that 2019 game, and again, talk about it being a homecoming. They want to pass more, want to show off what he can do as a passer in this game. And the pass yards number, by the way, up to 228 and a half now. Oh, no, down to 228 and a half. Come down.
Well, it seems like it's come down. I don't care. I'll hit it.
That doesn't make any sense. I think it was like 223 earlier today. I mean, I just like the over. So, yeah, I'm going to take that over as well. So we're both on that. I mean, for all the reasons we talked about before. And you've got Mark Andrews over receptions too, right?
Yeah, it's 3.5, or at least when I saw it. I mean, I just think, again, that's just a number that's a little too low for somebody who is arguably the number one pass-catching option for them in the offense. I mean, it's him or Marquise Brown. He's gone over in all but two games this season, and I believe he's averaged 9 targets in the last 3 weeks. So it's not like you're asking him to be – you know, this most efficient guy, if he's getting, you know, 5 targets a game, 4 targets a game, you got to just have a perfect day. He's getting 9 targets, or roughly 9 targets. That's an inefficient day, roughly, if you're talking about 4 receptions there. And they also, the other thing with this one that I like, Miami's averaging 5.3 catches to opposing tight ends this season.
Yeah, they've been, I was looking at that too. They've been, that's why I've got on my list, Andrews anytime touchdown. It's plus 135, you know, you can bet him first touchdown at 7-1, which is nice, but I'll take anytime touchdown on Andrews because, yeah, just because it's, I think that's a pretty likely outcome to happen. I would be really surprised if the Ravens don't have, you know, four plus touchdowns here. I mean, I think, you know, they're getting to 28. It would shock me if they didn't. The over 3.5 is minus 170. That's a lot of, I don't hate the over at all. Like, I think he gets over that. That's just,
the value isn't great.
Yeah. It's the same amount of juice. I see a over under out. I mean, just this is what I got on my local is over under 4.5, the over 4.5 receptions at plus 110, which I don't really help. I don't, as you said, they're just projecting 4 receptions, or the market is sort of projecting 4 receptions for Andrews, which I still think feels kind of low.
Yeah. I think, again, you know, he's averaging 9 targets a game. You're talking about being, you know, just okay, like mediocre efficiency wise. Like, it's not like, you know, if he comes up with 4 or 5 catches, that's, you know, it's still a good day. If you're talking about somebody who's probably going to have, you know, some targets over the middle of the field, very catchable balls, you know, you're talking about a 6 catch day. That's kind of what I'm looking at, where it's like, all right, that's not out of the realm of possibility here. I believe he's double digit targets.
5.3 catches per game, which is bolstered, you know, obviously when they do these props, a lot of time they're using the median and not the average.
Yeah.
You know, that's bolstered by his 11 catch explosion game against Indianapolis on that Monday night when he had 11 catches, 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that both he and Marquise Brown can eat in this spot and have huge games. Yeah. I've got, Savon Ahmed over rush yards, which I believe has probably moved up at 13.5. It's a slammer. If it gets up to like 17 or something like that, I don't know that you take it. If you look at what the Dolphins have done the last few weeks, Miami had basically went away from Savon Ahmed last week. He had 4 carries for 6 yards. But he had the last 3 weeks before that, 7 carries for 22, 7 carries for 26, 7 carries for 22. Not big afternoons at the office, right? Like, he's not going to go huge, but a really consistent number of carries that he had gotten. And then for whatever reason against Houston, they decided to try and make Myles Gaskin the bell cow back. He had 20 carries for, what's that, a robust 34 yards? And I mean, he scored a touchdown, but that's just horrendous. 6 catches for 23 yards. Ahmed wasn't used at all. And I would guess that given the inefficiency of Gaskin there, that they dial that back and even things out a little bit. And that's a pretty good number at 13.5. You really just need, what do we need here? 5 carries to get to, you know.
I mean, you're talking about a series where he's just kind of the guy and they're going tempo and he's just getting a lot of touches. You can easily see where that happens.
I mean, even if he averages 3 yards a carry, which is absolutely horrendous, 5 catches, 5 carries get you there.
Yeah.
I think he gets 5 carries. And so I would bet that number is see if it's moved up at all. Total rushing yards. Caesars has changed around their props, and it is difficult. It's up to 14 and a half. Over is minus 140. I'd still take that. We can, but I mean, I'm going to take, I mean, for the purposes of this podcast, I guess I graded on 14 and a half minus 146. That's what it's at, but that's fine. I think up to like 16 is perfectly good. Oh yeah, you've got one more as well. Yeah.
Lastly is Jalen Waddle total. I said passing yards. Obviously he's not passing. It's receiving yards. I just can't type 60 and a half to me again. If they're going to be down in this game, they're going to be passing a lot more. And who's the guy that can be that explosive piece in that offense? It's Jalen Waddle. And again, he's gone over this in three of his last four games. The one game he missed it, he had 11 targets. He just couldn't really haul him in. I think he had four receptions in that game. He's looked at a ton, whether it's Tua Tagovailoa or Jacoby Brissett. To me, the volume will be there. It's just a matter of, can he actually be efficient with his catches? And going up against the Ravens defense, that hasn't been particularly great. So, you know, this one I do like from a multiple reasons.
Great. I don't mind that at all. By the way, before we get into first touchdown performer, let's just look back really quickly at our Bears and Steelers props. I meant to do that before. Can we check that out? Let's see what we got on props. Cole Kmet over receiving yards. Check. Najee Harris over rushing yards. We both missed, but that's not our fault. Justin Fields over rushing yards. Did he get there?
I'm pretty sure he did.
I'm sure he did. Yeah. And Ben Roethlisberger.
That one did not work out well.
Yeah, it did not work out.
That one.
Pat Freiermuth over 35 and a half. Bing. And also, I said on the podcast, it wasn't written down there, but I think I said Kmet over receptions and receiving yards, or at least somebody texted me. It was like, Kmet, bam, early. I was like, oh yeah, did I say that on the podcast? I mean, I bet over receptions and over receiving yards. And then that Najee Harris over rushing attempts got it was a little, he had 9 in the first quarter, and then it took a little while to get there, but it got there pretty easily.
Good week for us.
Yeah. Very good week for us. That's right. We had a big Thursday and I guess now we want it to be a big Monday into Thursday. So let's
it's a weird crossover. We're the bridge. Yeah. We're the bridge into the week.
I know. We talk twice a week, and it's during the same actual week, but it's for different weeks, which is very discombobulating. Back to the Dolphins and Ravens. Let's look at our first touchdown picks here. I mean, I'll be honest, like again, this is a thing that's really happened in the last 6 weeks where they have shrunk the crap out of these markets, and it's very frustrating. There's not a ton of value out there. You know, you're having to bet like it used to be you would see Davante Adams would be 8-1 for a Packers game. And it was like they had finally got Davante Adams into 8-1. He was like the only guy who was that low. And now it's just everybody is under that number because I think the sportsbooks are just getting kind of hit with these a lot. Yeah. And so you have Devontae Freeman plus 575 because he is the lead running back on the team favored by 7.5 points. Mark Andrews, 7-1. Lamar Jackson, 7-1. Marquise Brown, 8-1. Miles Gaskin, 8-1. I mean, yeah, like look at this. Andrews is already down 50 cents since I sent those in this afternoon. Jalen Waddle, 11-1. Mike Gesicki down to 11-1. Boo. Is Le'Veon Bell playing this week? He is, 14-1. I mean, what are we doing? Sammy Watkins, 16-1. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Rashad Bateman, 19-1. Anything, what stands out to you here, Sully?
To me, I guess Gesicki is one. If you're looking at somebody from the Dolphins, if there's a little bit of value there, I had it at 12-1. You can get it 11-1, like you said right now. The one to me, and again, it's, you know, it used to be that you could get this at a better number, but Marquise Brown, plus 850. I just have a feeling we got this homecoming narrative going on. That one is that's the one I'm probably most excited about going into this game, just because we talked about it. The homecoming, there's a history that both of those guys, him and Lamar Jackson, showing out in those games. And would it surprise you at all if they just, you know, come out of the gates early, they get the ball and they take a couple of deep shots just to make a statement? Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. I'll tell you this. Mark Andrews, anytime touchdown. I just actually literally just bet as we're speaking at plus 150 for anytime touchdown. I also like Hollywood Brown, plus 120 anytime touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, that, yeah. I mean, we're hanging this on the 2019 argument that these guys went down there for a statement game to open the season. They're playing in their hometown. They're playing in front of their friends and family. And they wanted to show off, and they did with two early touchdowns in that game. I agree with you. I'll add I'll be betting Hollywood Brown for first touchdown, just because, I mean, 8.5 to 1, like, I don't think that's that great, but that narrative for me is pretty strong. The idea that these two guys are like, look, they're talking to Harbaugh. They're talking to Greg Roman. They're cooking up some shots to take early in the game because they've seen the formula work with a better, by the way, Miami Dolphins team, I think. Well, maybe you're like, yeah, had to be better than this crap they're rolling up this year, where you get up on them early and you can just pile it on and it's over. So I like that look a lot. Somehow first touchdown is off on my site. What's going on here? Boo. Anyway, I like Gesicki. We both have Gesicki. If you think it's a Dolphins touchdown, 11-1, I guess it's not terrible. You'd think if Devontae Freeman at 5.5 to 1, we get Gesicki at like 15 to 1 or something like
that. Right. I was going to say, under, you know, previous circumstances, you're talking about, I don't know, 18 to 1, you know, 20 to 1 for somebody that.
Exactly. Yeah. And now Gesicki's been really good, though.
He's been great.
Yeah. I like Brown, Gesicki, and Andrews. I actually think there's like a little bit of value maybe in Lamar at 7.5 to 1. I mean, that you would think he'd be the guy who's 5 to 1. I guess he hasn't been running quite as much in the red zone, but still, Lamar Jackson 7 to 1, he could get there. But I think there's two main pass catchers for Lamar, and then Gesicki are the three guys that I would target. And maybe we'll take a look at somebody a little further down the board later. All right. That's it for the gambling and the props. If you want to hear us talk about DFS for this game, spoiler, you might want to have Lamar Jackson. Head on over to YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. If you're watching on YouTube now, stay where you are and hit that like button if you haven't already.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.